This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Suppose you were to get a telephone call one day from some person in high places, person that makes decisions that affect our entire nation, and they were to ask you this question. Can you tell us what you think we ought to do to make this a better nation? How can we improve our country? What would come to your mind? And I have an idea that some of us think we need to have better government, we need more money, we need to do something about the protecting of our borders, we need to do lots of things. But is that really what we need? I remember reading a tract a number of years ago by a lady, and the tract was entitled, A Better World Begins With Me. And I really believe that. I think that a better world begins with the individual. So today, we're going to have a two-word prayer that we're going to talk about. Revive me. Revive me. We're not talking about reviving my neighbor. We're not talking about reviving my spouse. We're not talking about the revival of my children. I'm not talking about the revival of the church. Lord, start with me. A better world begins with me. A better home begins with me. Revive me. Please stay tuned as we discuss that today. We want to pause long enough that you can learn about a Bible course we're offering and how to receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading today from the 51st Psalm, beginning in verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In Psalms 138, verse 7, the psalmist said, Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. I don't think that anyone would deny the fact that today in our world that we're walking in the midst of trouble. And we need to ask God to start with me. Start with me, O God. Revive me. The 51st Psalm, to me, is a psalm of revival because in it are some steps that God lays out that would bring revival to the individual, that would make of us what God would have us to be on a personal level. The 51st Psalm, of course, was written by David. It's hard to conceive that the man who wrote the 23rd Psalm, which starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," also wrote the 51st Psalm. You see, that's one of the marks of the inspiration of the Bible. It points out not only the good in people's lives, but it points out even the weakness in the weaknesses and the lies of those who are God's men and women. Now, David is described in the Bible as being a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart, but not when he was doing wrong. But David was a man after God's own heart when he was repenting of his wrong. Now, Psalms 51 is written by David against the background of his sin with Bathsheba. It is known as one of David's penitential psalms, a psalm of penitence. And we want to look at that psalm today, because in this psalm, we have laid out for us some steps in personal revival. Revive me, Lord. Help me, O Lord, to be what I need to be. How am I going to do that, O Lord? And so, first of all, we want to notice that there must be contrition in our lives. Notice in verse 1, "Have mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." You know, his prayer here was somewhat like the publican that went up to the temple to pray along with the Pharisee. And the Pharisee prayed like this: "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. I'm not like the publican standing over there. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a good person. And Lord, I want you to know that I give tithes of all that I possess. I want you to know, Lord, I'm keeping my marriage vows, Lord." And he went on and on and on. I've often wondered whom he was trying to impress. But then the publican just wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He smote his breast and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner." And David here in Psalms 51 said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." God is analyzing us today, just like he analyzed the publican and the Pharisee. And Jesus' analysis of those two men was this: the one man went down to his house justified, the other man did not. And the Lord is analyzing us today. One man had a heart of contrition, a heart of humility, and the other man did not. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, when he talked about being poor in spirit, he's not talking about physical poverty or material poverty, but he's talking about the poverty of the soul when we realize that we are poor without God, when we realize that we're poor and we're in poverty without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're stricken in our hearts. We've gotten down on our knees and asked, "Oh God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." You see, pride is an anti-God state of mind. And there are so many people that are filled with arrogance, pride. But the Bible says that pride goes before a destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall. The Bible says that humble yourselves in the sight of God. And a pride is an attitude, it is a state of mind that will bring about your eventual destruction. It may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, it may take half a lifetime. But eventually, God will bring that person who's filled with arrogance and pride down on his or her knees. There were some men that were climbing the Alps, and a man had a guide. And when they reached the top of one of those mountains, the man who had employed the guide tried to stand up, and the guide pulled him down. He said, "On your knees, sir, on your knees. You're not safe unless you're on your knees." You see, the wind was blowing fiercely, and if the man stood up, there was the danger that he might even be blown off the top of the mountain. And I want you to tell you that we're not safe unless we're on our knees. We're not safe unless we are clothed in humility, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. We're not safe unless we have that attitude, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, contrition of heart. And if you are so filled with pride and arrogance that you do not think you need God, if you are so filled with pride that you think you're better than other people, if you are so filled with pride that you do not think that you've done anything for which you need to be forgiven, if you think you're so filled with pride, I want you to know you are not ready for God to forgive you of anything. We've got to be willing to come down to the foot of the cross, kneel at the foot of the cross, give all of our worldly things up, give our idols up, and lay it all down. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And I think this is the key for a person being the right kind of an individual, having the right kind of a heart. Someone says, well, what we need today is to get rid of all of the guns that we have in America. No, what we really need today is to deal with the real problem. And the problem of America, the problem of the world, the problem in the home today, the problem in government today, it's a problem of the heart. We need to get our hearts right. In Acts 8th chapter, there was a man who was told, your heart is not right in the sight of God. And I rather suspect that when God looks down from heaven upon humanity, he sees hearts that are not right with him. So the step number one in having this personal revival is to realize your need, that you need God, and you'll never realize you need him until you bow down at the foot of the cross. Have mercy upon me, O God. Step number two is confession. This man prayed, David did, in verse number 7. He said, against thee only, have I sinned. This is in verse 4, rather. And done this evil in thy sight. In verse 3, he said, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. What is he doing? He's admitting his sin. He's confessing that he's done wrong. You know, some people seem to be allergic to an admission of guilt. They do not think they have ever done anything wrong. And there is a serious problem here. Here are two people in their automobiles and they collide. Maybe it's not a major accident. Maybe it's one of those, what you call a fender bender. And each jumps out of the car and they start pointing fingers at each other. It was his fault. No, it was her fault. No, it was his fault. You see, we have a problem when we're not willing to admit that we are wrong. Here's a husband and wife who are at an impasse in their marriage, and so they go to a counselor, and they sit down with the counselor, and the counselor asks them to explain what's going on here, and so he says it's her fault. And then the counselor talks to her, and she says, no, it is his fault. You see, there's plenty of blame to go around. And sometimes we have a problem admitting that we have been wrong. David said, Lord, I know I've been wrong. I know I sinned. And he did. He committed adultery. He even had the woman's husband killed. He sinned. He said, Lord, I've done wrong. And sometimes people have a hard time admitting their guilt and their sin. There was a man in the barber shop, and he was getting a haircut and a shave. And there was a young lady in the barber shop who would do manicures. So she said, would you like to have a manicure while you're waiting to get through with your shave and your haircut? And he said, of course. She was a beautiful thing. So she started working on his fingernails, and he started flirting. He said, what are you doing when you get off from work? Would you like to go out with me? She says, I'm a married woman. She just said, well, you just tell your husband you had to work late. She said, you tell him yourself. He's shaving you right now. I have an idea that man realized he had made a mistake. Sometimes we don't want to admit we've done wrong. The Bible teaches that if we want to really prosper, we have to be willing to confess our sins and to forsake those sins. In Proverbs 28:13, the Bible says, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy. If we want to have spiritual prosperity, and if we want to find mercy at the hand of God, we not only must be willing to confess our sins, well, then we have to get rid of them. We have to rid ourselves of them and forsake those sins. I've seen people walk down an aisle on a Sunday morning and acknowledge that they had been forsaking the worship of the Lord, forsaking the assembly of the saints. And then the next Lord's Day, you look around to see where they are, and they're still gone. You see, they may have acknowledged they were wrong, but they didn't forsake their sin. They just kept on committing that sin. We need to not only confess our wrongs, we need to forsake the commission of those wrongs. So there is confession of sin. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In 1 John chapter 1:9, the Bible there says that that if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So step number two in our personal revival is confession of sin in my life. Not only must I be humble of heart, have contrition of heart, there must be confession of wrong in my life. When we confess that we have sinned, we're acknowledging that we're not perfect. And there's no individual who can live without Jesus Christ and claim perfection. It's just impossible. The only way that we can live without sin in our lives is to be in touch with Jesus and His precious cleansing blood. But so we need to be willing to acknowledge that we have sinned, admit it. Now, step number three is cleansing. And David in Psalms chapter 51 asked for cleansing. Look in verse 2. Wash me thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Obviously, David felt rather dirty. He had sinned. Isn't it the case that when we do something we know we shouldn't, that we just don't feel right about it? And when we are asked for forgiveness and God forgives us, we feel so much better about ourselves. David didn't feel good. David was needed cleaning up. There is a big movement today about the environment and making sure that the environment is clean. And I believe we ought to have clean air and clean water and all of that. I believe in that. And we should not pollute our air. We should not pollute our planet. But this is a problem that the environmental people are not too much concerned about. And that's the pollution of the soul, the pollution of the heart. David realized that he was sinful and he needed to be cleansed. Look in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Then look in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. A clean heart. Would you like to have a clean heart? God can give you one. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, to have this personal revival, where we say, Lord, revive me, Let their better world start, Lord, with me. Let a better home start with me. Let a better church start with me. Let a better nation start with me, God. It starts when I have this personal cleansing of my sins. Have you ever noticed in watching advertisements on television that especially when they're advertising things that would appeal to women, and it's not just to women, sometimes they advertise things that appeal to men, things that and they use, as a general rule, not all the time, they use women. And have you ever noticed that for the most part, the women that are used in advertising on television are some of the most attractive women they can find? I don't think they go out looking for those that are unattractive. But have you ever thought about this? That when one of those women who was be rather attractive is on television advertising an automobile or advertising cosmetics or advertising, everything is used in advertising today to appeal to our senses. And they don't ever use women that are unattractive. Beautiful women. Have you ever wondered how their heart looks? Have you ever thought about that? They may be on the outside, they may be beautiful on the inside. When God looks at their heart, they may be so ugly. They may be so unattractive. Their hearts may be dark. Their hearts may need cleansing. And God's looking at our hearts, your heart and mind. And our hearts need cleansing today. David felt the need for it. See, he had sinned. He took a man's wife. He had the man sent out into the forefront of battle to be killed. And he had a baby by this man's wife. And David felt so unworthy. He felt so out of joint with God. He felt he needed to be cleansed. We need it too, don't we? And we have to come to the fountain that is filled with blood, that is drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners that are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's a line and a song, isn't it? About the fountain filled with blood. In Zechariah 13:1, the Bible says, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." And that fountain that flows with blood was opened at Calvary when Jesus died. And we just have to have our sins washed in the blood. There's a song that has, the title of it is a question, "What can wash away my sins?" Think about that. What can wash away? To wash away means to eradicate, doesn't it? What can wash away my sins? The things that I've done that would disappoint God. The things that I've done that would be against God. The things that I've done that are not done, that have broken the heart of God. What can I do about my sins? What can I do about my sins? You see, we're talking about a personal revival. Revive me. Revive me, Lord. Start with a better world in my heart, Lord. What will I do about my sins? What can wash away my sins? And the answer in the song is nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Revelation 1:5, the Bible says, "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins." Washed us from our sins. In his own blood. So the cleansing of our sins is because of the shed blood of Jesus. In Romans 5:8-9, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being justified by his blood. We are saved from wrath through him." If you want to be saved from the wrath of God, you'd better come to the foot of the cross. You better get in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, how do I do that? But the Bible teaches that we're to believe in Jesus with all of our hearts. John 8, verse 24, John 1 and 12, John 3, 16, John 5, 24. The Bible teaches we're to repent of our sins, Luke 13 and 3, 2 Peter 7 and 3 and verse 9. And the Bible teaches we're to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Furthermore, the Bible teaches we're to be baptized into Jesus Christ, into His death, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And when we're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, that blood washes us and cleanses us of our sins. We come in union with that blood by faith. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, the man is Saul of Tarsus, the preacher is Ananias. And Saul of Tarsus had been persecuting Christians, but now he is at the foot of the cross. He's under the influence of the teaching of Ananias, and Ananias says to him, what are you waiting on? Why are you tarrying? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I'd say to you today, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, and you'll have a clean heart, O God. Oh, come to the Lord for cleansing of sin. And we can begin a better world by getting ourselves right with God. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Your Bible Today. I want to encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And I want to encourage you right now to pick up the phone and call for the Bible course, or you can take it online. But I want you to know that we appreciate your watching. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.